This morning's reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap an empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Holy, holy, holy God, we come before you humbly, seeking to worship you in spirit and in truth. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today we begin a series on stewardship. Have you noticed that? Have you seen that PPGSW acronym anywhere? I didn't know what it was. GSW is kind of scary, but okay. So we're talking about stewardship for these 5 weeks, and not just financial stewardship, but the stewardship of our faith. Think about what that means to all of us, the stewardship of our faith, what it looks like and how we live into it in this church and in our lives. Now, in these first weeks of winter, as we make our way toward Lent, it's a good and holy thing to ponder these essentials of the faith. Prayer, that's today. Next week, presence, then gifts, service, and witness. That's the GSW, gifts, service, and witness. For they each merit a singular look that will help us to consider where we are in our faith and what each one means to us as individuals and to us as a gathered body of Christians who worship together here. And prayer is first. So why do you think that is? Why would prayer be first? That's what I'm going to look at today and ask you to do the same as I share some of my thoughts. Now, prayer has always been something special to me, but when I first entered into ministry, it was as a youth and outreach leader in Beloit. I loved working with the kids and with the community, but I'd never, ever, ever prayed aloud or in public. Okay? And even though those gathered were children or were youth, I was so self-conscious. I agonized over what to say, how to say it. I was nervous and hoped that what I said would be a good example for the kids. Would it be good enough? Would it be good enough for the church that I represent? Would it be good enough for God? That's what I wondered. And after a while, since God is so very good, I learned to listen as I prayed. I found that as I listened, the words came, that the feeling expressed itself, that the breath in my body and the beating of my heart found their way into a harmonious taking of time and letting the Holy Spirit in. And instead of agonizing while I prayed aloud, it became a balm, a unity with the people gathered, be they young or old, and a balm with God. Now, as I thought about this change in my perception of public prayer, I reflected on three things: authenticity, openness, and honesty, both with people and with God. I laughingly realized that I couldn't hide from God anyway, so I might as well let it all out. And I became curious and learned about many different kinds of prayer, and I tried them all out. Some were natural and good for me. They fit easily. And others were not. Those other kinds of prayer were good for others instead of me, and that was okay. I didn't have to be great at every single kind of prayer. I didn't have to be good at all of them. I didn't have to practice with all of them. Any of that sound familiar to you guys? Yeah? Most of all, I learned to offer myself some grace. If I didn't pray at the same time every day for the same amount of time, it was okay. I realized that I was staying open for God's presence and that prayer came when it would. Now, my good friend June, who's a spiritual giant, she and I were talking about this one day, and she said to me, "Oh, Cindy, don't you realize that every time you even think of a person, you are praying for them? Every time you think of a person, you are praying for them." I love that. When someone crosses your mind and you wonder how they are they happy, are they well, how's their family, you are praying for them. When you wish good things for someone, you are praying for them. I'd never made that connection before. I thought that thinking of someone was just that, thinking of someone, and that's all there was to it. But June said was that when you hold someone in your heart and head, the image of God in you connects to the very one who made you. The image of God in you connects to the one who made you, and that is prayer. So that's her definition of prayer. What is ours? How do we define something as huge as prayer? When Pastor Angie first asked me to preach today, I was like, okay, it's this big. How do I make it this big? In the book by Anne Lamott, oh, I want to show you. I already talked about this with Molly. Help, Thanks, Wow. She describes what she considers the three basic prayers. Help me, I need you. Something's wrong and I need you. I can't do this myself. Thank you for what I've been given. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And wow. That's amazing. Wow. Pretty good description of prayer, don't you think? I like it. Anyway, in her book, Lamott says a couple things I believe help us to get a handle on what prayer is and the depth of it. The first thing she said is, my belief is that when you're telling the truth, you're close to God. When you're telling the truth, you are close to God, whether you're saying it to God or to anyone. If you speak the truth, or as the Bible says, speak the truth in love, you're close to God. And then she says, prayer is our sometimes real selves trying to communicate with the real, capital R, the truth, capital T, and the light, capital L. It is us reaching out to be heard, hoping to be found by a light and warmth in the world instead of darkness and cold. I like that. Our real, true selves reaching out to the real, the true, and the light. There's a lot written and spoken lately about belonging and being seen. It seems to be a natural part of being a human being that we want to see and be seen. You've heard about this? Lots of books written lately to have podcasts and so on. We want built into us a place to call home. And I believe that prayer offers that. It builds a relationship with our Creator where we know that we belong and where we can trust that we are seen completely. All of who we are, all of who we are, the good, the bad, the ugly, is loved and valued and precious. That's why prayer matters. We build up our relationship with God, who knows and loves us already, and by doing so, we find out more about who we are and why we are here on this earth. And it's been my experience that as we grow in prayer, we grow in trust of God, which then allows us to accept more of the love and the nurture and the radical acceptance that God has to offer us. Sometimes we say, yeah, I know God loves me, but I really don't deserve it. But I think the more we pray and the more we build up that relationship, the more ready we are to accept that we are loved and precious in God's eyes. Now, I want to make sure and say this, that all of this prayer thought's not about who we are as individuals only. Rather, it's about who we are as a people, as beloved children of God, as the body of Christ in this time and place. We pray individually when we are alone, we pray with others in our families, and we pray together here. We pray for the world when we are watching the news with the rest of the world. Do you think you're the only one watching the news praying that something gets better? Try and feel that energy. And all of that prayer, knowingly or unknowingly, transforms us and then transforms the world. In our gospel passage today, we learn from Jesus what prayer is not about. Did you notice that? It's not about saying a lot of words. It's not about having other people hear us to show what a devoted Christian we are. Rather, it's about who we are in our relationship with God. And Jesus reminds us, God knows our hearts anyway. God already knows what's there. We just have to get it out. So think about this for a moment. If we say what we think God wants to hear, like I'm a good girl, I'm going to say what God wants to hear. How's that building a relationship? Does that work with friendships that we have? Anybody? Does that work with friendships? I don't think so. True friendships grow with honesty and openness and truth, with mutual curiosity and interest. The same is true in our relationships with God, only on a much higher level. God already desires this connection. God is always interested and curious in us. And when we pray, we offer the same back to God. And as in any human connection, the more we learn about someone, the more we can love them. The easier it is, right? The closer we are, the more the trust. So the more we learn about God, the more we can love God. The more time we give, the stronger the bond. Do you know what I mean? There are so many different kinds of prayer. The daily office, contemplation, meditation, practicing the presence of God, the Lord's Prayer, the Jesus Prayer, the Sinner's Prayer, thanksgiving, intercession, praise, and the list goes on and on, and there are books written on all of them. Do we think that it matters to God what kind of prayer we bring? Anybody think that? Does it need to be in our own words, or can reading the prayers like we did this morning of Terry Arnett's, reading the prayers of others, can that be enough? Is that okay to do that? Do we need to follow a formula and say everything in the right order? How much do we speak, and how much should we listen? Now, the United Methodist Church, believe it or not, I read that, I found this online. The United Methodist Church says it this way. There is not one right way to pray. We speak the Lord's Prayer together, and we are one with millions of Christians throughout history who have opened to the mystery of God's grace through those words. But we are also one with the ages of Christians when in distress we cry a silent help to God, when we wait in stillness for God's guidance, when we shout out anger at injustice, and when we take action to right wrongs and reach out in compassion to a hurting world. All of this is prayer. That's what the United Methodist Church says. It makes sense, doesn't it? And think about it this way. God has made us all beautifully unique and loves us completely. So why wouldn't God give us each our own way to pray? If we were all the same kind of prayer would help us grow closer to God, but we are not the same. And we are each given by our gracious God a way to reach out to God. It might change over our lifetime, it might change every hour, depending on the circumstance. But because we are unique individuals, God gives us a way, because nothing's more important than to God than us reaching out to God. Often I've been asked as a pastor, or just as a sister, about God's answers to our prayers. How do we recognize them? Or why didn't I get the answer I wanted? Or why is it taking so long to get an answer? Sound familiar? I've wondered all of the same things, and I've found that with time and perspective, I've seen answers that were invisible to me at the time I was seeking them. I might have been looking, couldn't find anything, and then months or even years later, an answer smacks me in the face. And in thinking about this and praying about it, my only discoveries about the answers God sends is three wants. And the first want is patience. Might take a long time to hear anything back. Next, we want trust. As disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, with time and prayer and life experience, we learn to trust God first in our minds and then fully in our hearts and bodies. The answer that God gives will be the right one, whether it was what we were expecting or not. And God's answers might be very difficult to understand, especially to our human ways of thinking and processing. And yet, as our wisdom grows, and wisdom is the third thing we want to feel when waiting for God's answers, we can come closer to seeing what God sees in answers to prayers. Now, our opening greeting and song take their text both from Luke's and Matthew's Gospels, the Sermon on the Mount and Matthew, the Sermon on the Plain in Luke. They tell us, seek and knock and ask. Why is that, do you think? The text tells us that we will receive and find that the door is opened. So when we pray in whatever way God has given us that allows us to grow in our relationship and our understanding of love, what we receive and find through that open door is far more than we can imagine. It's not only about getting what we ask for or finding what we are searching for. It is about our proximity to the divine, both inside and outside of us as individuals and as the people of God, that we will receive. Think about that. Proximity to the divine. That's what prayer is all about. That's why prayer is first, and that's why it matters. Amen. Let us join.